I mean, you open the sefer and you realize how much you don't know. It's good to be humbled, sefer. Okay, but first let's start with some b'derech avoda, very practical. We'll do one piece on Vayeshev. We know in this week's parsha, of course, Yosef becomes Yosef HaTzadik. It's not just regular Yosef anymore, he becomes Yosef HaTzadik. How does he become Yosef HaTzadik? He has the test of a tzadik. The test of a tzadik is a test of arayos. Because a tzadik is always involved in yichudim. A tzadik is always involved in unifications. Obviously, you know, when a husband and wife are intimate together, so that unification is really just mirroring sort of a higher connection that we're trying to create. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu shchintei. We want to unify Hashem with the Shechina. The marriage of Har Sinai between God and us, kiviyachol. So that means the same way that a tzaddik is always involved in trying to make yichudim, to bring pieces together, to form connections and relationships. So Yosef a tzaddik, by not getting involved in this very unholy relationship, becomes a tzaddik. Does that make sense what I'm saying? The idea of a tzaddik is, in some places we find that the language of tzaddik is to be ma'ached shemaya va'ara, to bring together heaven and earth, to make a connection. And therefore, by Yosef not connecting himself to another man's wife, he was able to become Yosef a tzaddik. Okay, but she worked very, very hard, as we know, in the Midrashim, in Rashi, we see that she worked very hard to try to seduce Yosef. The Midrashim speak ba'arichos at great length, describing the various ways that she tried to tempt him, how she tried to threaten him, how she tried to seduce him. And at the end of the day, he didn't listen. Baruch Hashem. V'lo shama eleha lishkov etzla. The pasuk says he did not listen to her, to lie with her, to sleep with her, to be intimate with her. Peirush Rashi, v'chein b'medrash Rabbah. Medrash explains, lishkav etzla afilu b'lo tashmish. At one point she says, let's just lie in this bed together. We don't have to do anything. Even without intimacy. Yosef says, I'm not doing that. Lihios ima la'olam haba. Because he understood that even that would cause him to be with her in the world to come. Meaning, even the small avera would have a repercussion in the world to come, not only the big avera. But it's a little bit strange, because again, if you just read the words, lo shama ela lishkav etzla, he didn't want to lie with her. So the Medrash says, right, lie with her without being intimate with her. And the end of that pasuk is lihiosima, to be with her. To be with her, we would say the pasuk pshat is, to lie with her is to lie without intimacy. To be with her means to be intimate with her. So he didn't want to even lie with her, because he didn't want to be with her in olam haba. What does that mean? V'lechora kasha, it's hard to understand. Ma chidshu bezeh chalila liyosef atzadik lishkav b'mita aramis v'chein lo yeyaseh. What is the chiddush here? That it was like he not only did he not sleep with her, he didn't even lie with her. Of course he didn't lie down with a non-Jewish woman in bed. Are you crazy? What's the chiddush? What's the point the Medrash is saying? And what exactly, if let's assume Ashes Potiphar said to Yosef, let's just rest together in this bed. Right? Let's just lie next to each other. What was she thinking? What was her plan? And what is the chiddush that Yosef didn't even do that? And Chav, we're going to learn something very, very practical and very important. V'nucha lomar, we can say as follows: Dihine Yosef hatzadik al yedei maisa hanisayon hazeh nizgadol ad shenasa merkava hakedosha lebechinas tzadik yesod olam. Tzadi yod ayin stands for tzadik yesod olam. Yosef hatzadik, by overcoming this nisayon, by overcoming this challenge, Yosef grew to become a merkava kedosha, a holy chariot, sort of a receptacle, a chariot. Right, a vehicle to transport Hashem through the world. He brought Hashem's presence upon him in a way that was remarkable. Tzadik yesod olam. And Yosef became what we call a tzadik yesod olam. A tzadik upon who the whole world rests. Yosef passed the ultimate nisayon. He becomes a tzadik yesod olam. Now, v'hine hamirshas hazos tzafsa, we know Rashi tells us that this wicked woman, Ashes Potiphar, she knew through astrology, that's what it's struggling means. She knew through astrology, through her astrologers, that eventually there would be a unification between Yosef and Mrs. Potiphar. Now, the truth is, of course, Yosef would never end up being with Eishes Potiphar, Baruch Hashem. But who would Yosef marry? Who's the wife of Yosef? Osnas. Osnas Bas Potiphera. Osnas was the adopted, according to the Midrash, Osnas was the adopted child of Potiphar and his wife. And she was actually, according to the Midrash, she was actually from the family of Yaakov Avinu. So Mrs. Potiphar saw, as Rashi says, she saw in the stars, as the Midrash describes, she saw in the stars that our families are going to align. So she says to Yosef, look, we're supposed to be together. It's destined in the stars. It's ordained by God. It's meant to be. She saw that in the future there's going to be some type of unification between her and Yosef. She didn't realize that it's her adopted child who's really, again, according to the Midrash, was really from the family of Yaakov and ended up in Mitzrayim. The whole story, exactly what that means. But Yosef actually married someone from his own family, from his extended family. But she saw in the stars that we're supposed to be together. V'nib'a v'eina yodas ma nib'a. And she was prophesying without realizing the nevuah that she was actually saying. Because she was right. There would in fact be a unification down the road between the family of Yosef and the family, so to speak, of Potiphar. V'efshar sh'al yidei itstrologin shala hiskila sh'al yidei hanisayon hazeh ukvishas yitzro Yosef holech v'godol ad ki gadal ma'od lios merkava kadosha. It could also be that she understood that by Yosef refusing to be with her, by defeating his Yetzer Hara, Yosef would become that much greater. Chavre, do you remember when we learned, when was it, just last week, how Haman, when we were talking about Yaakov's defeat of Sarah Shal Esav, when Haman says, Vayomer Haman b'libo, who does the king want to give honor to more than me? Right? And our Rebbe explained, the Kazzer Magid explained, that Haman, in a certain sense, could say to Hashem, Hashem, look what I did for you. Yeah, what did you do? You tried to kill my people. No! Haman could say, no, you don't understand. Hashem, look what I did. I motivated the Jews to do tshuva. I started this whole Baal Tshuva movement. I got the Jews to daven and to fast, right? So sometimes the wicked one is able to say, oh, look, I was the one who, right? I was the one who made this tzaddik great. I was the one who helped this tzaddik to become the tzaddik. So Mrs. Potiphar, in a certain sense, she saw that she had a role in making Yosef a tzaddik, and it's true. It is true. By tempting him, by seducing him, and by Yosef refusing, Yosef became the tzaddik yisod olam. Yosef became Yosef ha-tzaddik. Not just Yosef, Yosef ha-tzaddik. Now, listen to this. Umiderech ha-yetzahara lasos es shalo. It's the way of the yetzahara to do his thing. Lachein he-sisa oso shichva imi. She says to Yosef, shichva imi. Just lie down next to me. Now, why on earth would Yosef ever consider doing such a thing with a non-Jewish woman who's not his wife? Klomar, Yihye b'lo tashmish, come into the bed, lie down alongside me, uchvosh es yitzrcha, v'tiye mafli la'asos, afilu b'mita achas, at shetasig madrega hayoser gedola. In other words, he was saying to Yosef, let's make the test a little more challenging, and then you're not going to actually do anything. Put yourself in a nisayon, put yourself in spiritual danger, and then rise up, and then you'll be even greater. Your accomplishment will be even loftier. Right? That's what she was saying to him. Lie down in the bed. We won't do anything. You'll have strong taiva to want to be with me. Conquer that Yetzer Hara. And then you'll be on a madrega even Yoser Gedola. And Chevra, the answer is very simple. The answer is what we davened this morning, as we say every morning in Brachos. That what? Lo li dei nisayon. Hashem, please don't bring me nisyonos. I have enough nisyonos. And not only do we say, Hashem, don't bring me nisyonos, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and ask myself, do I bring myself to nisyonos? And to what degree do I make sure that I don't put myself in compromising situations? Amnam tumas yesharim tanchem v'chalila la'adam lahavi esatzmo lidei nisayon. Chavre, if you have the sefer in front of you, underline it. Chalila la'adam lahavi esatzmo lidei nisayon. Don't say, I'll put myself in a tough situation and then I'll rise above it. And what if you don't? And what if you fall? We don't rely on miracles. We don't put ourselves in dangerous situations and then expect Hashem to save us. We don't put ourselves in situations where our values are compromised, and then hope to not, you know, well, I'll go hang out with this chevra that I know is not a good chevra for me to hang out with, but whatever, they'll do their thing, and I'll make sure I don't get pulled in. That's a dangerous way to live. And that's why there's a concept of creating gedarim for oneself, creating, you know, protection for oneself, creating boundaries for oneself. If you think about the whole story of Chanukah, upartzu chomos migdalai, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Midos, where it describes the Beis HaMikdash, I told you, there was a little fence that went around the right outside the Heichal, called the Soreg. And the Yavanim came and they breached holes, 13 breaches, the Mishnah tells us, in the Soreg. They breached the fence. That's what the Soreg was. It was this little fence. They breached the fence. In other words, the idea of Yavan is partially to tear down these Gedarim, these fences. Yeah, you can walk that fine line like we learned from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you know? The danger of being kind of somewhere in the dark, but also a little bit in the light, and to try to navigate that, that's so dangerous. So Eishes Potiphar tries to say a very from svara to Yosef. Yosef, let's just get into bed together. We won't actually do anything, and then you'll be an even bigger tzaddik. Just give in to the temptation a little bit, and then conquer the temptation. Yosef says, no way, I'm out of here. Vayonos vayetze hachutza. Yosef runs for his life. Yosef runs outside. Pay attention to the word outside. We're going to talk a lot about outside. The Ner Chanukah is placed outside. So Yosef understands, and Yosef teaches us, Chalila, God forbid for a person to put himself in a compromised situation. We don't have to ask for nisyonos, we have enough nisyonos. V'chein osa Yosef atzadik. And that's exactly what Yosef atzadik did. Lo shama eila lishkav etzla afilu belo tashmish. Yosef says, are you crazy? I'm not getting into bed with you. Even if you tell me, no, we're not going to do anything. No way. Perish, lahagdil hanisayon asher al yedei kein yizke la'olam haba yoser. That's what the Medrash is saying. She said, what? Lishkav etzla afilu below tashmish? Liyos ima liolam haba. You'll have a bigger olam haba if you just lie in the bed but don't do anything. Yosef says, thanks but no thanks. I'm not putting myself in that situation because I'm scared I'll fall and then I'll lose my olam haba and I'll be stuck with you in the next world as well. Vizel liyos ima liolam haba dahainu sheyizka al yodal olam haba. She was saying, come on, I will help you to have a greater olam haba. That's like Haman saying, I was the one who inspired the Jews to do tshuva. That's a joke. You run away from that. Dehainu sheyizke al yada l'olam haba, ukemo sha'omrim, as the saying goes, as the Medrash says, you say to the sha'omrim l'dvora, you say to the dvora, what's the dvora? Bi. You say to the bi, lo me'uktzeich v'lo miduvsheich. No thank you for the sting, and no thank you for the honey. You're offering me honey, I'll pass on the honey. I don't want to be around bees. Sometimes it's honey, sometimes it's a very painful sting. So I don't want to be involved in it. No thanks. I'll pass. Lo mi uktzeich, not from your sting. V'lo mi duvsheich, and not from your honey. Okay? So, chevra, this is a very, very important, very, very important idea. And an important way to see life. Again, you know, we have plenty of nisyonos, but don't make it harder for yourself. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're setting yourself up to fall. Okay. Now things get a little more complicated because now we've got to enter into the world of Chanukah. And the pieces are hard. The pieces are hard. So where should we start? All right, let's start. There's a lot of like lines here and there that are really amazing. But I want to try to take us to a section that's maybe the most practical. So hold on, give me a second. Let me just figure out where we should... Let's see, where's the Gemara? Tanu Rabbanan Ner Chanukah. Let's see. I'm looking at a different edition in front of me, so the layout's a little bit different. Do they break up the pieces? Ah, here. Bam Rubi Gemara. Okay, let's try over here. What page is this? For those who have the Sefer, Samach. I think it's on page Samach in your edition. You have it here on the screen in front of you. Let's try. Let's see what we can understand. Okay, we'll try. Okay, the way that the Drush al Chanukah works is that it's almost like the Avodah Yisrael was just free-flowing in terms of expounding just ideas about Chanukah and Ramazim on all of the Kavanos of Chanukah, based a lot on the Kisvei Arizal, which obviously are very, very deep. And then additionally, he goes into the Gemara, and he kind of just reads the Gemara with almost like this running commentary along the way of quick insights. Okay, so let's take it from where he starts to explain the Gemara, and let's see if we can get his main message. I would say, just from the start, and I'll try to elaborate on this in a clear way, I would say, in a certain sense, the main message is, on Hanukkah, that we're trying to be mashpia from, like we learned in the Nesivos Shalom, how the Keser Elyon and the Keser Malchus have to kind of unite together, that there should be this unification of sort of the highest and the lowest. So in Hanukkah also, the idea, as the Avodas Yisrael explains, is that we're taking this Or Elyon, and we're trying to bring it mibachutz. We're trying to bring it outward. We're trying to shine our light out into the world. Okay? That's obviously a very simplistic way to explain what he's going to try to explain to us, but let's see if we can see it in his words. Okay, so let's see. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is Ner Ish Ubeso. As we know, the basic mitzvah is what? That every household has to have a single candle. Ner Ish Ubeso. So he explains, and again, we're not going to understand every word, but let's try. Dahainu, Kiner Ole Resh Mem Ches Evarim. The gematria of the word Ner is 250. Now we've spoken about 250. 250 are the 248 Evarim, the 248 limbs of your body. Evarim de Nukva dehi Knesses Yisrael, the 248 limbs of the Jewish people. Okay. Misyachedes im Doda bein train de Roin de Malka. Now, think about it like this. I have a sefer over here.
Where is it? This book.
Me'ir Einei Chachamim. The Me'ir Einei Chachamim. Or Chadash. Me'ir Einei Chacham. You know how this sefer was written? Rav Meir of Krushtov. A Talmud of who? A Talmud of the Or Meir. His Rebbe was the Or HaMeir. Rav Zev Mijitomer. The Rebbe of Mijitomer. You know how Rav Meir of Krushtov wrote this whole big fat book all about Hanukkah? The story is told in many places. If you have the sefer Sichos B'Avodas Hashem, for those who have that sefer, you can look on page 23. Ashi, you got it? Okay, open to page 23 for a second. Tell us the story of how the Me'ir Einei Chachamim was written by Rav Meir of Krushtov. He went to his Rebbe, the Rebbe of Zhitomer, and what happened there? Tell us, page 23. You see it? Make sure you're on mute so we can hear you.
Chiber is called Sefer HaKadosh Morne Chachamim Mimash Shehisigaz Be'esh Shehechin Rabbe Lesaptilos.
Okay. So Rav Meir of Krushtov went to the Rebbe of Zhitomer, his Rebbe, and he saw how he was preparing the wicks. He watched his Rebbe twirling the wicks in preparation for Hanukkah. And that's a big inyan by tzaddikim, to prepare your own wicks. Nowadays, they sell things ready-made in the stores. Okay. But to prepare your own wicks is also a chashuv inyan. Rav Meir of Krushtov saw his Rebbe, was watching the Rebbe of Zhitomer prepare his wicks, and he said he was so inspired. I don't even know what this means. But he said there was so much, his Rebbe was giving him so much insight just by watching him spin the wick, that he basically went home and he wrote this whole book. Just by watching his Rebbe. This was the Hidushim that he had in response to watching his Rebbe just set up his menorah. Okay? Unbelievable. So one of the things that he mentions in here, somewhere, it's a very hard safe idea what it's about. But somewhere in this book, the Me'ir Einei Chachamim, he mentions that on Hanukkah, I think I bent the page once upon a time. Where is it? That on Hanukkah we should, here we go. The hug of Hanukkah. Oh. Hanukkah is like a hug. How is Hanukkah like a hug? Well, when a person gives a hug, right? So you have your body and you have your two arms and you wrap it around someone else. Okay? So he says the Ner Chanukah, Ner is Gematria 250, which represents the 248 limbs, right? Along with, look at the words on the screen, don't be scared, the 248 limbs of our body, and we're the Nukva, we're the wife of Hashem, Knesset Yisrael. And now we're misyachedes im doda. Hashem is giving us a hug, so to speak. Bein train deroin demalka. Between the two, train means two. Deroin means zroa, arms. The two arms of the king. What are the two arms of the king? In other words, we're like lying in Hashem's bosom. We're in Hashem's arms. Right? We're being hugged by Hashem. So the Ner Chanukah represents 248 plus the two arms of Hashem grasping us. What are the two arms of Hashem? What does that mean? Chesed v'gvura, hamorim al ava v'yira. We know that every mitzvah has to be performed with avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. So the 248 mitzvos asay, so to speak, each one being performed with love of Hashem and fear of Hashem and awe of Hashem, make up 250. So the Ner Chanukah, which again is the basic requirement, is sort of this, the Jew presenting himself before Hashem and jumping into Hashem's arms. That's sort of the imagery that he's creating. Again, I'm explaining it a little bit more the way the Meir Einei Chachamim says it than the way that our Rebbe says it, Mefurash, but that's certainly what he's hinting to. V'hayichu nirmaz b'milas ish ubeso. And this unification, this, you know, hugging Hashem, so to speak, is alluded to in the words ish ubeso. Ish ubeso. Ner ish ubeso. Right? Is the relationship between a man and his wife. Ish and bayis. Sometimes a woman in the Gemara is called the bayis because the woman is the mainstay, the backbone of the home. The ish is the husband and the bayis is, so to speak, the woman. So ner ish ubeso is the reminder that on Chanukah, it's a unification of us and Hashem. Okay, let's keep going. Again, we're not going to understand everything. Let's try. V'ramzu chazal od, ki ein dai sheyavi ha'odam ha'behiras la'atzmo. It's not enough for a person to bring the clarity, the light of Chanukah just to himself. But on a more simple level, the basic responsibility of Chanukah is what? It's not just to be inspired by yourself. You need to inspire your siblings, you need to inspire your parents, you need to inspire your neighbors, you need to inspire the world. Ner ishu beso rak lashpia l'chol beso. You have to have ashpa in your entire house. Aaron, you have to have ashpa in the entire Venezuela. Okay? The entire Venezuela. It's counting on you. Yeah? The whole world has to be lit up by us. Ner, that my neshama, is not only for ish, but it's ishu beso. It's for myself and the house, the whole world. That the shine should not just shine upon myself, but rather sheyavdu gam kein as Hashem, that everyone should come to serve Hashem ba'avaso v'yiraso ulashpi alem kedusha al yedei hadlakas ner Chanukah, that I should be able through my lighting of the menorah should inspire the whole world. Okay, so that's level one. That's what we call ner ishu beso. Level two, v'mahadrin ner lechol echad ve'echad. Beautiful, says our Rebbe. Mahadrin is that each person has their own candle. What does that mean? Dehainu. In b'nei beso heim anshe levav, if the people of the house are not only receiving, let's say you're the most inspired member of your family, so you have to try to light up your family. But let's say everyone in your family is very inspired. So if everyone in your family are anshe levav, are people of heart, people of connection, v'yecholim limshoch lahem ba'atzmam kedushas Hashem, and they're able to bring upon themselves, so to speak, the holiness of Hashem, oz ner l'chol echad ve'achad. So now we've got more candles. We've got more lamplighters, you know, to use a Lubavitch phrase. Right? We've got more people going out to light up the world. But Amru Gam Kain, the Gemara tells us further, where do you put the Ner Chanukah? Now listen to this, this is amazing. Manicho al Pesach Beso mi bachutz. The place to put the Ner Chanukah is at the entrance of your home, but to the outside, towards the outside. Why? Ki Iker Ha'aras Chanukah, l'kol mi sheyesh b'kocho, l'hamshich ha'kedusha mi bachutz. The avodah of Chanukah, for those of us who have that spiritual strength, and hopefully it's all of us, if we dig deep, we all have it, is to be able to what? To again, to transmit that kedusha, that radiance outward. Ratzalomar, la'osan ha'omdim adayin mibachutz. Chever Chanukah is the time where you have to reach out to your friend from elementary school, or from high school, or whatever, who unfortunately is not living a life of much Yiddishkeit today, or your irreligious cousin, or you're not, you know, not yet from neighbor, and it's a time to reach out and to say, I wanna wish you a happy Chanukah. I'm here to give you a menorah if you'd like one, right? To reach out to reach out to those who are omdim adayin bachutz, those who are still standing on the outside. Ve'ena masigim hakedusha, those who have yet to receive the holiness. Top of the left column. Ulahayir lechol haolamos sheakiru v'yedu. Ki Hashem levado hu amosho b'chol afse aretz. Because I want the whole world to know that Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. I want the world to recognize it, that Hashem alone is the one who rules over the whole world. So now, with this, we can answer an amazing thing. I'm going to explain it to you the way that I've heard it twice now, from the Stuchina Rebbe of Matul Zilber Shlita, and it's unbelievable. Listen to this remes, okay? First, let's read what our Rebbe says, and then I'll explain it the way that Rav Matal explained. V'lechein efshar mitam zeh lo nizkar pilpulei Chanukah b'mishnayis. Why don't we have a Maseches Chanukah? We have Mishnayis, Maseches Megillah. Purim, we have Mishnayis. Why don't we have Mishnayis about Chanukah? Now, that doesn't mean that Chanukah is never mentioned in the Mishnah. Chanukah, in passing, is mentioned in several Mishnayis. In one place, there's even a halacha about Chanukah, which is mentioned in passing, but there's no Maseches Chanukah. The sugyos that talk about the halachas of Chanukah, you know, are where? In the second parak of Shabbos, in Bamei Manlikin. And it's only discussed in the Gemara. It's not discussed in Mishnayis. So what's the difference between Mishnayis and Gemara? Listen to what he says here. It's beautiful. The reason that Chanukah is not mentioned in Mishnayis, Hagam sheyesh behem pluktas beis Shammai beis Hillel. We could have imagined the Mishnah about Chanukah. Beis Shammai says 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Beis Hillel says you light the menorah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Shammai and Hillel, come on, we could do that in a Mishnah. So why don't we have a Mishnah about Chanukah, about the halachos of Chanukah, a real Mishnah about Chanukah? Ki a Mishnah sod pnimis olamos, because Mishnayis written by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Mishnah which is Eretz Yisrael is pnimis. The Mishnah represents, so to speak, the inner track of the worlds. Visham ein tzorech kol kach, and Chanukah is not needed for the inside world. Chanukah is not needed in Mishnayis. Rak nizkar ha-pilpul bebraisa. Chanukah is found in the Gemara, in the braisos. What is a braisa? A braisa, the very word is a lashon chitzonius. What does bar mean? You know what bar means? Outside. Outside. Bar in Aramaic means outside. Like the Gemara sometimes uses the phrase, like we have in Shabbos, daf kuvav. It says, puk tane livara. Right? Go out and teach it livara, to the outside. The word braisa, those teachings which come from not the base medrash of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, from outside the base medrash, what we call Baraisa, the outside texts, that's where you're going to find Chanukah. Because that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is all about illuminating the outside. We don't need Chanukah in the Mishnah. Isn't that amazing? So the placement of Torah also reflects the essence of what that Torah is trying to convey. So because Chanukah represents, again, the world of what? The world of shining outward, so we find the story of Chanukah, we find the halachos of Chanukah in the Braisa, in the outside text, in the Gemara. The Hainu l'rameis ki ikr habihiris l'shalshil hakadusha l'ha'ir mivachutz. To remind us and to teach us that the goal of Chanukah is to what? Is not to shine in, but to shine out. Now it happens to be that the B'nai Yisascha writes, let's pause here for a second, the B'nai Yisascha writes at one place, so why is it that so many of us light on the inside of our homes? We mentioned yesterday, I asked you guys, does anyone light outside? And no one said yes. You all said you've seen it in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting. Eretz Yisrael, the place of the Mishnah. People light outside. Why do we light inside? Why do we light inside? You know why? The B'nai Yisascha writes something very sad. He says, because unfortunately, the home is supposed to be sort of the safe place for the Jewish people, and we have to be worried about the street, you know? We have to worry about the influences from the street. But what happens when the street has conquered our homes? What happens when we already have too many outside influences in our homes? So now what happens? Well, now we got to bring the light back in to try to drive the darkness out of our house. So the B'nai Yisascha says, Bizman Hazeh, unfortunately, and again it reflects a spiritual reality, because unfortunately the outside has encroached upon us, right? We need the Chanukah light. We have a little bit too much of the street in our inner lives. It's penetrated our inner lives. So the lighting of the candle on the inside reflects that our response to that. Okay? It's a true and important of our Torah, a powerful idea to think about, and it's a harsh reality. It's a sad reality that we kind of, you know, have to face in the way that we light menorah today. Okay. So now let me tell you what the Stuchina Rabbi said, because it's mind-blowing. Chaver, where is the source of the Pach Shemen of Chanukah? Well, we just read last week, the Yaakov Avinu, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov was left alone. Why was Yaakov left alone? Because Yaakov Avinu went back because he forgot something. What did he forget? Pachim Ketanim. He forgot Pachim Ketanim. All right, he left behind a Pach Katan, or pachim ketanim, small jars. Many of the tzaddikim tell us that the pachim ketanim of Yaakov Avinu are the root of the pach shemen of Chanukah. Now, where did they see that? Vayivaser Yaakov levado. How do you know that Yaakov was going back for little jars? And again, you know, what's the connection to Chanukah, so to speak? If you look through those psukim and parshas Vayishlach, you'll see so many hints to Chanukah. They were fighting. Yaakov and Sarah shel Esav were wrestling. They were fighting over Chanukah. They were literally fighting over Chanukah. The Pachim Ketanim. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. So if you look in very early sources, you'll find that Chazal made a play on words. Chazal say, Al tikri levado. Don't read it that Yaakov was levado, alone. Rather, read it, Vayivaser Yaakov lekado. Yaakov went back lekado. What's a kad? However, what's a kad? You know what a kad is? What's a kad? Yeah, that's right, Evan. It's a vessel. It's a kli, right? It's like a pach. It's a jar. A kad, right? So Chazal saw in the word levado, al tikri levado, don't read it levado, read it lekado. Yaakov went back, not levado, but Yaakov went back lekado. Chavra, how many mesechtos are there in Shas? We often talk about the 60 mesechtos in Shas. 60 mesechtos in Shas. And how many of those mesechtos have Gemara? And how many of them are just Mishnayos? How many are Gemara? How many are Mishnayos? There are 36 Gemaras, and there are 24 that are just Mishnayos. And we just learned that what? That Mishnah represents sort of the inner world. Gemara, Braisa, represents the outer world. So Rav Matl Zilber Shlita said, look at the word Lekado. What's the gematria of the word Lekado? Lekado is gematria 60. Happens to be that if you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, the Sefer Yetzirah says that every month has a letter associated with it. And the letter associated with the month of Kislev is the letter Samach, 60. But look at the word Lekado. What do you notice? There's 24 Chaf Dalit on the inside, and there's Lamed Vav on the outside. You know what that means? The 24 on the inside represent the 24 Mesechtos that are only Mishnayos. The 36 on the outside represent, as we just learned, that Gemara is the world of the outside, or the 36 Mesechtos that what? The 36 Mesechtos that have Gemara. And we know that on Chanukah, we're trying to what? We're trying to radiate outward. We're trying to focus on that which is on the outside. How many candles do we light over the course of Chanukah? 1 the first night, 2 the second night, 3 the third night, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 is gematria. I added up. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many candles do we light on Chanukah? 36 candles. 36 candles on Chanukah. So, Chaver, what a beautiful thing. Yaakov Avinu goes back. And he's fighting with Sarah Shal Esav. Yaakov Avinu, who's the Yishtam Yoshev Oalim, right? Yaakov, whose whole life is spent in the Oel. Aleph Hey Lamed, 36. He's the person who learns Torah. He goes back for the Pachim Ketanim. He goes back for the Pach Shemen. And he's fighting Lekado. But look at the word Lekado. 24 on the inside. Also, there's 24 books of Tanakh. Torah Shevichsav. That's the inner track. But it's the Gemara. It's the Braisa. From a lashon of bar outside, that represents the outside track. Okay, so how precise it is that lamed and vav is on the outside, and chaf dalet is on the inside, and together you put it all together, it's 60. The 60 mesechtos, the letter samach, which is the letter of Kislev. That's why Chanukah spans both the month of Kislev and Teves, 2 months, a total of 60 days. And Rav Matl Zilber Shlita had a lot more to say about this, but it's an amazing remez. And it's mamish right here in our Rebbe's Torah. It's right here in the Avodas Yisrael. Mishnayos are the inside. Chanukah and Gemara represent the outside. And therefore, you only find the Gemara talking about Chanukah, not so much the Mishnah. Okay? All right, let's go a drop further. Says our Rebbe, V'zesha kasav b'magin Avram. If you look in the Magin Avram, in his writing on the Shulchan Aruch, you open up to Hilchos Chanukah. The very first thing that you'll find in Hilchos Chanukah, the very first halacha, Noagin hana'arim lisavev. Lisavev, samach. Samach goes around and around. Sivivon. The first halacha. The na'arim, the youngsters, are are noheg, they have the practice, lisavev, to go around on Hanukkah to collect tzedakah. That's what it says in the Magen Avraham. Noegin hana'arim lisavev v'chanukah. U'minhagan shel Yisrael torahu. It is the way of the na'arim to spin around on Hanukkah. Obviously, maybe it hints also to spinning the dreidel, where you also get some money. But if you read the whole line of the Magen Avraham, you open up the Shulchan Aruch, it says that children, young people, go around to collect tzedakah on Hanukkah. V'remez ki tzarech lahashpia b'chanukah l'mishuhu b'madregas nar. The idea is that we have to find someone who's a nar. A nar means a young person. What it means on a deeper level is a person who's what? Who's not advanced in their Yiddishkeit. They're childish in their Yiddishkeit. They don't know anything about Judaism. They're not connected deeply to Hashem. V'al yedei ha-tzedakah sh'noisnim l'na'arim. Mis'orer l'mal ha-tzedakah v'chesed lahashpia l'adam. Hagam shuhu b'chinas nar. By you giving tzedakah to a nar, spiritually, you're saying what? I'm providing for someone who's more needy than I am. So then Hashem looks at us and Hashem says, okay, I'm going to give you. Because we're all needy. We're all narim. In the eyes of Hashem, we're all, every one of us is a nar. We're very small in the eyes of Hashem. So when you give tzedakah to a nar, right? So you mimic that process above and you bring down tremendous blessing upon a person. I was just thinking this morning, you know, again, Hanukkah time, I like gematrias a lot. If you give tzedakah to a nar, so what's the gematria of na'ar? Na'ar is gematria, what's the gematria of na'ar? 320? Did I do that right? 320? And tzedakah is how much? Tzedakah is 199. So if you give tzedakah to a nar, so na'ar plus tzedakah is 519, which is gematria neshama plus guf, 519. And that's really what Hanukkah is about. Hanukkah is about the unification of the neshama and the guf. It's also the B'nai Shleishim that I mentioned earlier this week says that 519, neshama plus guf, is gematria or chadash. When we learn to reconcile the body and the soul, that they're not fighting, but that the neshama is actually able to work with the body to serve Hashem, right? We represent the neshama, the Greeks were about the body. When they come together, and that's what Mashiach is, really the unification of body and soul, then Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir. Or Chadash is gematria neshama plus guf. Okay, fine, take it or leave it. Let's go a little bit further. V'gam b'lav hachi, and furthermore we could say that the hachana b'chanaka al yamam haba machareyem teves u'shvat shehem yemei shovavim, that the preparation of Chanukah is a preparation for the days of Shovavim. Chaver, do you know what Shovavim? Who knows what Shovavim is? By a show of hands, just raise your hand if you've heard of Shovavim. Shovavim stands for Shemos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. 6 weeks that describe the Jewish people, the parshios that we read are the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And we read about Klal Yisrael becoming Klal Yisrael and overcoming Mitzrayim, which means getting out of Ervas Ha'aretz. And that's why Shovavim are days of great holiness, days of great Kedusha. We try to be extra sensitive during the days of Shovavim to fix our eyes and to fix our Kedushas Habris. And that's why Chanukah, where of course we stare at the Neros to cleanse our eyes, is the preparation for Shovavim. Shovavim is Gematria Yosef Tzaddik, right? Shovavim is Gematria 360. Yosef plus Tzaddik is 360. Obviously Yosef is the paradigm of a person who guarded his eyes and guarded his Bris Milah. But Chanukah is the preparation for Shovavim. We want to draw from the light of Chanukah to carry it with us into the days of Shovavim. Ki tamid tzarech ha'odim lahachin kedusha miyamim tovim al yamim hanemuchim. Because we need to take, and this is a good rule for life, we need to take from the bigger days of life to take it with us for the lower days of life. As the Pasuk says, biyom tova hayyeh b'tov uviyom ra'ah re'ay. On the good days, cling to the good, and on the bad days, have vision. What does that mean? It means when things are good, put things away for when it's going to get bad. Isn't that exactly what Yosef HaTzadik did? He saw a famine coming, and Yosef stockpiled food. The same thing is true spiritually. A Jew has to draw from the lofty experiences in life to prepare himself for the lower days. V'kamo shekibalnu mirabeinu, morenu Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk. Like I heard from the Rebbe Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, and he writes it in the Noam Elimelech, in his Sefer, in Parshas Emor. Emor ve'amarta. How does Parshas Emor begin? Right? Vayomer Hashem. Emor el kohanim b'nei Aaron ve'amarta elav. Emor ve'amarta. What's this double Emor ve'amarta? Say and say. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, Lahazir Gedolim Alakatanim. Tell the older Kohanim to teach the younger Kohanim. Explains Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk. What does that mean? Shemiyamei Moichin de Gadlus. In days where my mind is on a high level, Tzarech Lios Hachana Al Yomin de Moichin de Katnus. I need to try to what? I need to try to carry some of that with me into the days of small-mindedness. And therefore, on Chanukah, again, we try to prepare ourselves in that way. To cleanse our eyes, as he writes here, Latakin kol echad mashapogom meodo b'ri'iyas ayin. To fix our eyes by staring at the Neros Chanukah. Okay? All right, Chevre, the hour is getting late, but I want to show you one last part. Let's do one more little piece. There's a lot here. Oh yeah, there's a lot here. Okay, let's just go to the end. Let's jump to the end. Where he says V'inyan Chanukah. Okay, over here. Page Samach Beis. We'll end with this. I'll tell you something that'll make you smile. V'inyan Chanukah Hu al shem hakosov Chanoch Lena'ar al pi darko. So that's what we just explained. Chanukah reaches out to the Na'ar. Chanukah reaches out to the one who's a Na'ar. Interesting. How does Yosef himself start off? How does our Parsha begin? How does Parsha of Vayeshev begin? Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov wants to retire, take it easy a little bit. Yaakov is seeking Shalva, wants to relax a little bit. Shalva, what a word, Shalva. There's a lot in that word, Shalva. Oh, guys, there's a lot of Torah in the world. You got to keep your eyes open. Yeah, Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef is ben Shiva Esrei Shana, Hayaroa Esacha Bason, Vehu Na'ar, Espinei Bila, Vespinei Zilpa. Yosef starts off his career as a Na'ar. Yosef is called a Na'ar, and then he becomes a Tzaddik. That's what we're doing on Chanukah also. We start off as a Na'ar, and we try to become a Tzaddik by the end of Chanukah. So the Pasuk that maybe expresses Chanukah more than anything else is the Pasuk in Mishlei. Chanoch lena'ar al pi darko. To try to help a na'ar to stop being such a na'ar. Tahainu shebachanaka. Machmas godol ha'ora. Yuchol gam ha'odem shemadregas na'ar. Lechanech oso la'avodas Hashem. That a person who's on a low level, he's a na'ar, he's a katan, he's a childish in his avodas Hashem. We're preparing him to be able to serve Hashem in a much loftier way. Ulahochin nesivos yosher. Lahaloch behem v'lahashem ha'yeshua. To get this person on the path to Hashem. To go from being a lowly person to being a big person. From being a Yaakov before you fought for Pachim Ketanim, but after you fought for Pachim Ketanim, you're not Yaakov anymore. You're a Yisrael. You're a Yisrael. Yashar. Yashar Kel. Yisrael. Straight to Hashem. It's very interesting. I don't want to go into it now. I mentioned it yesterday in a shiur I gave at Stern. But what did the menorah actually look like? So a lot of people draw the menorah, rounded. They assume that it had a... The truth is, there's very good reason to believe, and if you've ever seen, Lubavitchers with their menorahs, the Lubavitch menorahs always has straight branches. You notice that? You know what I'm talking about? You ever see a guy driving around with a menorah on top of his car, like a good Lubavitcher? Yeah? You never saw a rounded menorah on top of a car. You saw straight branches. Why? Lubavitch Rebbe was big on that, because he felt that that was actually what the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash looked like. But in Pnimius, there's actually a very deep lesson in that. Because round represents what? Sort of that samach in a negative sense. Right? The na'ar who's being misovev. The na'ar who's wandering, looking for some tzedakah, looking for some guidance. That's how Hilchos Chanukah begins. And the goal is to become a tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik had a straightness, a clarity. Eishes Potiphar, come on, let's lie down in bed together. It'll actually increase your schar and Olam Haba. And he says, what are you, crazy? Yosef knows the answer to that. Straight out the door. Vayanas vayetze achutza. He runs straight outside. So the straight branches of the menorah actually represent a certain straightforwardness. Right? Yisrael, again, the name that we were given after defeating Sarashal Esav, fighting for the Pach Shem and fighting for Pachim Ketanim, the name that we're given is what? Yashar. To be straight. To be clear in that way. So Chanuch Lenar al Pidarko. We take this katan and we try to get him some direction on Chanukah. That he should be what? He should have a Nesivos Yosher Lahaloch Behem V'la Hashem HaYeshua. Okay. Fine. Good. Kamosha Amr Le'el, as I explained above, Ki Iker Kavanas Hadlaka is Lahamshech Ha'or Lamata V'la Omdim Bachutz. Hanukkah is the Yom Tov where we try to reach out to those who are outsiders. And again, part of those outsiders is obviously ourselves. Okay, last but not least. V'ramzu B'dvarah. It says in the words of our sages in the Gemara and Shabbos, when is the time to light Ner Chanukah? Ad shetichla regel min hashuk. As we started to learn yesterday in our Gemara Shir. Right? When is that time? From the time of Shkia Sachama, when the sun goes down, until the regel, until the foot leaves the marketplace. What's the idea of the foot leaving the marketplace? Let's see. Va'ad kama, when is that? Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Amar Biochanan. Adecholya rigla de tarmudai. Until the Tarmodians leave the marketplace. They were the last chevra who stuck around in the marketplace. Ayin Sham Perish Rashi. If you look in Rashi over there, you'll see who these Tarmudai are. Were they Jewish? Do they sound Jewish? Tarmudai? No, they're not Jewish. The Tarmudai was a... Okay. Okay, thank you. The Tarmudai was a non-Jewish nation, which, by the way, maybe proves that you can fulfill what? That you can fulfill Pursume Nisa with non-Jews. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that, I think, based on this Gemara. But the Tarmudai were people in the marketplace who sold little pieces of wood, Rashi said. Firewood. Little chips of wood. You know, little things that could be lit on fire. That's really what Hanukkah is about. Finding that little dried out Jew and lighting him on fire. Sparking his soul. But that's the time for Ner Chanukah until the foot leaves the marketplace, and we give this strange answer, until the Tarmudai, until the feet of the Tarmudai leave the marketplace. The Arizal explains in his writings, Kavanos Kasav Kavanos Veshemos Al Inyan Zeh Achetich L'Ragel Manashok. The Arizal has all sorts of deep secrets that are found in this expression, Kavanos, and different names of Hashem that are connected to it. Very deep things. Okay, fine. Take a look over there if you want to see that. Daito shahashir hu achetichla habihiris hanikra regel minashuk heim haolamos ayin sham. Fine. Check it out if you want to see what that's about. But I'll say simple. Says the Kashrus Magid, I'll say something simple. Who are these Tarmudai? Do we know about them anywhere else in the Gemara? Do we ever meet the Tarmudai in any other context? And he says, yes, there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos a few pages later, about 10 daf later on daf Lamed Aleph. In Mesechah Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara tells a story of an annoying person, a nudnik, who was bothering Hillel. Anyone remember this story? This fellow came to Hillel with a series of weird questions, strange inquiries. He came, She'elas Oso Ben Adam LeHillel. He asked Hillel, Mipnei Ma Einayim Shel Tarmudain Terutos. Why do the Tarmudai have squinty eyes? Why do the Tarmodayim have eyes which are trutos, very narrow eyes? That was what he asked Hillel. He noticed that these Tarmodayim, that's how they look. So he came to Hillel and he said, why do the Tarmodayim have eyes that are very narrow, that are squinted? Hillel responded, because they live in areas which are sandy. And when the sand is blowing, it gets in your eyes. So they walk around a lot like this, squinting their eyes to not get sand in their eyes. And that's why they have squinty eyes. Okay. Perish Rashi. She'enehem keos me'ra'os mipnei hachol sheminashev le'enehem. Why are their eyes, why are they squinting? Because their eyesight is dimmed. Enehem keos me'ra'os. Their eyes are dimmed from seeing because of the sand that gets in their eyes and it damages their vision. And it changes the way that they open their eyes. They're nervous to open their eyes because they always get sand in their eye. What on earth is this talking about? Umistama says the Avodas Yisrael, Kasher anu roim she'eneim keos miraos. When we talk about people with dim eyes, obviously that's what Chanukah is coming to fix. Anytime our eyes have ever seen anything unholy, it makes our eyes dim. It robs our eyes of their spiritual shine. We're talking about eyes that can't see. Pnimia se'inyan merames, shehei me'olamos nemuchim. We're talking about souls that come from lowly places. Asher toch einei mira'os lahabit b'kdusha. That have lost their ability to see properly. That they don't have eyes of holiness anymore. Va'atam shedarin b'nacholos. And when you ask Hillel, if you were to ask Hillel, what happened to their eyes? You know what the answer is? That they lived amongst the chol. Chol doesn't just mean sand. What does chol mean? L'havdil ben kodesh l'chol. What is the nature of the neros Chanukah? Haneros halalu kodesh hem. These candles are holy. Our eyes, unfortunately, have been too much immersed in the world of chol, in the world of the mundane. In the world of what? Of the street, Rishus HaRabim. Machva shehem ba'olam hanikra Rishus HaRabim. Viture de feruda umechuna b'lashon chol. We're spending too much time, what? Not in the world of Kedusha. Our eyes haven't seen enough pages of Gemara. Our eyes have seen too many movies and too many TV shows. Our eyes have seen too much inappropriate material. So how are we going to fix our eyes? Our eyes are squinted. Our eyes are dim. How do we fix that? Lowly souls, how do we get back on track? The answer is Chanukah. Comes along Chanukah. Lechein b'Chanukah. As we've been explaining all along, that Chanukah, the light radiates outward to the Jew who's literally still in the street. He's mibachutz. He's an outsider. That's why Yosef ran outside, because Yosef HaTzadik said, I have to go outside. Yosef HaTzadik, who taught the Egyptians to believe in God. Samani Elokim b'chol aretz Mitzrayim. Right, to appoint God over all of Mitzrayim. Dehainu laheir laholchem b'choshech. To be able to take a Jew who's walking in the dark, in the olamos hanemuchim, in lowly places, lifkoach einayim, ivros, to open their blind eyes, that they should be yabitu vayiru ki Hashem yotram, that they should see clearly and recognize that Hashem is their creator. And that's what it means, ad shetichla rigla detarmudai, until we're able to correct, what? The vision of the Tarmudai. Lahayir afilu l'tarmudim. Even a Jew. We're not talking about the Tarmudai, some nation called Tarmudai. We're talking about a Jew whose eyes are closed from seeing spiritually. The way that we fix that is through the Neros of Chanukah. Let me just end with a nice remez that I had last year. A thought that I had last year. The Gemara says again, the goal is to take the regel out of the shuk. The time for lighting Chanukah is till the foot leaves the marketplace. So, okay, let's take the regel out of the shuk. Who knows what I mean by taking the regel out of the shuk?
Subtraction.
Okay, so let's subtract. Let's take regel out of shuk. Take the word shuk and subtract regel. Take the regel out of the shuk. So how much is shuk in gematria? How much is shuk?
406.
Okay. And how much is regel? 233. So take the regel out of the shuk. What happens when you take the regel out of the... By the way, Sfasemis just says simply, take the regel, take the regilus. Take what you're used to and change yourself. That's what Chanukah. Every night is changing. You're lighting a different lamp every night. 1, 2, 3, 4. Regil. Stop doing things the same way over and over again. Sfasemis says, galgal, which means circular, is gematria yavan. Yavan is the world. It's samach that just goes round and round. Right? The belief in the, like... Mrs. Potiphar said to Yosef, you know, I see in the stars that go round and round, we're supposed to be together. And Yosef says, I don't believe in stars, I'm God. No, so what happens when you take the regal out of Shuk Yehuda? What do you got?
173.
Ah, 173. What happens when you take the regal out of the Shuk, friends? You're left with 173. Anochi Hashem Elokech, you're 173. That's what we learned. Anochi, that's what the whole thing's about. That's Anochi. When you get the regal out of the Shuk, on the simplest level, when you get your feet out of the street, stop spending so much time in the Gayusha world. Come back to the Beis Medrash. Come back to the inner world. Be a Pnimi. Right? Ner Chanukah comes out to look for you. Who's lost in the street? Which Jew is struggling? Which Jew is off the derech? Which Jew has lost his way? Which Jew's eyes have been ruined by the sights of the world? But now we come out of the shuk. Tichla regel. Take your foot out of the marketplace. When you take regel out of shuk, then you get back to our Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Mamish Kavaldik. All right, friends, we'll stop here. You need a break. It's been a